Well, good morning. Good to see you all. Good morning. Wilshire Live, good morning to you as well. What a beautiful Sunday and being able to celebrate what God is doing in individuals' lives and celebrating baptism, celebrating that we too remember our death in Christ, that we die to our old selves and we're made new and risen again. So would you join me in prayer? And man, you all took me seriously trying to hide me. I like it. I like it. All right, that's one way to get rid of a pastor. I'll take it. Well, let's as we pray this morning, let's also, these boxes that are going out, these are boxes of love that communicate Christ's love for children that are in need. You know, as I was packing these boxes with my family, and you read some of the stories and some of the gifts that these kids like, and you hear the story that many of them don't even have stuffed animals. And so I was thinking, and we were sitting there with my daughter, and you could see in her eyes, she's got, of all the animals, you know, most kids have teddy bears, and she's got a beluga whale. I don't know how it started, but his name is Belugi, the beluga whale. So, but every night she sleeps and she cuddles with this little beluga whale, and it means the world to her. It's comfort and love, and just to see in her eyes that there's some children that don't have that. And so to be able to give a stuffed animal, to give toys to children that don't have a lot of toys. And I was even doing this with my daughter because she wasn't perfect in all this, because she started to see some of it and say, well, I want that toy. I want this. And I pulled her over to her playroom. I said, look at all these toys. Some of these children don't have anything. And so you see the wrestle that she was wrestling with that. And that's where we're even going this morning. How do we serve? How do we sacrifice? How do we count others better than ourselves? So we're going to go there this morning. But as we do that, this is the beginning of bringing hope and showing love. We do it in grace and truth. We provide physical love, but that the gospel is also going out with these boxes. That they get to hear that they're not just loved with toys, but they're loved by the maker and the creator of the universe, their maker. And so let's pray that they get to know that they get physical love and that they get to hear spiritual truth. So would you pray? And if you feel comfortable, would you just reach out an arm as we pray for all of these boxes that are going out all over the world? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that you came to this earth as we are entering into the holiday season, the Christmas season. We remember that you sent your son. Lord, you sent your son into dark places in the world. And Lord, so we recognize as we send out these boxes that there are children that need to hear about your love. Lord, they need to hear both physically and spiritually that you came to give life, to rescue us from darkness to light. And so as these boxes go out, we pray that they would go out in love, that hearts would be changed, Lord, that they would just experience joy in that Christmas morning as they open these boxes and they get to hear about the greatest gift, which is you. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love it, love it. Well, good morning again. My name is Pastor Rob, and we are continuing. We kind of have a bonus in our RSVP series, and we went through the Great Commandment, looking at to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we would love others, love neighbors, just as we love ourselves. And so this, what we've been talking about in this sermon series, is making the complex simple. Because Jesus was asked this question, what out of all the commandments, what's the greatest ones? And so he makes it very simple. And so Christianity in many ways is simple. It's not easy, but loving God and loving others. And so that's what we want to do and focus on, how to make it simple. Now, in this holiday season, what I feel like God wants to prepare us for is in this time of Thanksgiving and Christmas, how do we truly love others? How do we serve others? And really what we find is that as we enter into this holiday season, the way God calls us to obey him is actually better just for our overall health and our overall well-being this holiday season. Are some of you ready for Thanksgiving? Turkey, football, I mean, chips, dip, I mean, just all the good food, right? I love Thanksgiving. I love it. And so there's just something about getting family together and getting ones that you love and just saying you're thankful for them. But then also, we do recognize that Thanksgiving can be a sad time. It can be difficult for ones that have lost somebody that they love. And it's a painful season, and so we also recognize that. And we will keep you in our prayers, and that maybe we would spend time loving others as we know it's a difficult season for them. But as you enter into this Thanksgiving season, sometimes we go into this holiday season with, man, I've been working hard, I've been just everything, and I'm ready for rest. Do you do this? You're ready just to, man, you're ready to sit in front of the couch, you know, the chips, dip, watch football, and some of you that like to cook, whether men or women, it's, you know, cathartic, and it you enjoy it, and you enjoy cooking and serving others. But if you're going into this holiday season, though, trying to find the perfect situation, trying to find the just, oh, it's going to be so great with my relatives or ones I love, and the food's going to be great, and all of this, it will always, always disappoint, won't it? Something will go wrong. Some of your families, maybe you're afraid of Thanksgiving because you know with this political season, you've got this uncle, and man, he's always badgering the other side, and he's always, you know, and you might happen to be on that other side. And so you know it's going to be like WWE, chairs are going to get thrown. I mean, Thanksgiving's going to go down. And so this happens in family. This happens in life, and there's conflict when you get people together. But really, the key that we find in having a happy Thanksgiving and Christmas to prepare you as a pastor, what I want to point us to is Jesus. Because Jesus comes and he transforms how we might find joy in this life. And he transforms the way we find satisfaction. Because in Acts 20, 35, it's quoted as Jesus saying this, if we could pull it up. It says, "And I have been constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we're going to see that here this morning. We're going to look at a passage that I love. If you could, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in front of you. And you can pull those out. And that's, if you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. So please take that home. And Philippians is in the New Testament. And you can flip there. If not, we have it up on the screen. And so I'm going to read this, and we're going to read this whole chapter because I feel like there's so many good things in here about this and about a glorious God that we worship. So it says this, therefore, in verse 1, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion... Let me pause right there. Do any of you have any comfort from God's love? Any joy that comes from God's love? Can I get an amen from some of you? Amen. That is, and amen, what is amen? Amen just means truth. That's truth. I've seen God's love. I've experienced his comfort. And so whether you're coming in seeking and you're not sure who Jesus is, that just by show of hands, you see how lives have been impacted by this Jesus, by this God, who there's love and comfort, and we try to find this in other places, and it always seems to elude us. My hope is that I can point you this holiday season to the greatest joy and satisfaction, which is Jesus. But then he gives us a model how to live our lives and how to find joy in it, and it's in this passage. He goes on, He says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind, and of one mind. Do now, here's where we're focusing in. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That vain conceit, some of your translations even say vain glory, trying to receive glory ourselves. But do nothing out of selfish ambition. But he goes on, he says, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the cross, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God sent his son Jesus, who humbled himself, who made himself nothing. God of the universe came down. And with youth, we'd always say, God in a bod. Jesus. God in a body. And even that, this passage, just as a side note, we're not going to fully go here this morning, but as a side note, man, what a passage that declares Jesus as God. And if you even look at, well, verse 8 says, being found in appearance as man, because Jesus was fully God, was he fully man? He was. That word in the Greek, appearance, actually, there's two words in the Greek that show, we have a word for just physical outer appearance, but this is his being. He was man, and yet he was God. I mean, verse 6, look at that. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So Jesus, God of the universe, enters into our pain, into our suffering, and lowers himself, takes on human form, physically lower than the Father in the universe, who is spirit. And so we see that Jesus coming into this earth, he enters in. And if you're taking notes, our first step is go low. Go low. Not that we want to think less of ourselves. So here's a great quote by C.S. Lewis that says this: humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It isn't thinking, oh, woe is me, I'm a bad person. It isn't thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. So putting others before yourself. Because if Jesus said it is better to give away than to receive, there's something in here that we have to explore. Because Jesus isn't just onto something, he's describing something that's his very nature. In this passage, we actually get the joy of seeing why Jesus came to this universe. We get to see some of the value, the reason behind that. And so we see it here. But we know that it gets pretty complicated, doesn't it? If you know you're trying to put others higher than yourself, it gets tough. Some of you during this political season on Facebook, you block people. You don't want to hear what they say because maybe they're ranting about their side of politics and they're condemning the other side, so you block them. But you haven't figured out a way to block people in real life yet. That's the challenge. It's easy to block someone online, but how do you block them in real life? And that's the reality. You're thrown into these situations where you can't. And now you're actually, what the scriptures call you to do is put others higher than yourselves. But some of these people, they get under our skin. And it's difficult. And it's just the little things. As we go and live life, we get more and more irked by things, don't we? I was shopping yesterday at Costco. Oh man, Costco already during the holiday seasons. But I'm there, and I even took a picture. I should have thrown it up. But I was there, and you know, and I don't even have that nice of a car. I've got an 07 Camry. It's not that it's not a nice car, but it's not in pristine condition or anything. But you know when people leave out the carts, and they just fly around and ding up your car? And so I get it sometimes, you know, where you put your cart, and it's here, and then far away, like, you know, the little metal rails, you know what I'm talking about, where you put all your carts. And I get it. Sometimes it's a really far walk, so people leave them. But I pull up right next to the cart keeper area, if you will. And so I'm like, man, that's the safest spot to be because everyone puts their carts. Sure enough, as I pull in, there's a cart right outside of the rails. And I'm like, really? You couldn't go 1 foot over to put that car away? But then I just found myself, I laughed. I'm like, that's really, we can let things like that just eat at our soul, can't we? And just, oh, how could that person be so inconsiderate? And we start to write a script. Ah, they're lazy, they're this, they're that. And maybe the person was. But how do we rewrite that script this holiday season? How do we love people despite their mistakes, despite their quirks, despite maybe incompetencies to move a cart 1 inch over? How do we love them? How do we put them above ourselves? How do we think about our own needs less and start to think about others' needs? Today, if you're looking on your notes, the one word I want us to think about at the very top is family. Family. It's the very first line. I want us to think about family. And some of us might have pictures of family and things were good in your family and loving, you grew up in loving homes. And some of you, the only loving home you ever saw was the Brady Bunch. And that's your idea of a perfect home. But really what God shows us is a picture of his love, and he welcomes us to a family. So not our picture of a family and some of the mistakes that we've seen in our family, but a heavenly family that we get to enter into. So as we serve and as we put others better than ourselves, I want us to think of this word as twofold. One, our physical family, those not just our blood, but those you kind of gather in Thanksgiving, those that are in your workplace, your friends of your kids, the ones in your community that we encouraged you last week to pray for. How are you going to bless them? How are you going to pray for them? How are you going to use your money to love them? That's what we did with these. We use our wealth to bless others. Jesus says, use your wealth to gain friends. Use the money God's given you to love others. And so how do we creatively do that? And so we really need to remove ourselves from kind of the gripes and pains of this world. So here's my first challenge. When you get to your destination, do you know, here's a myth about Thanksgiving that's often portrayed. We often sell, and just in media and everything, the most traveled day of the year is what? The day before Thanksgiving. Do you know, technically, AAA reported to NPR that as they study the highways and byways, they study everything in the roads, and that there's 5 to 10 days in the summer that actually more traveled than the day before Thanksgiving. Interesting, huh? Yeah, it made me kind of think, well, why do we think that this is the most traveled day? And I'm no social scientist, so this is just my own opinion, okay? I don't know if I've come on to something, but I feel like there's maybe a part of it is we have this expectation for the holiday. We want things to go well, and we want to be with family, and so then we get upset when things don't quite go our way. And so what do? We get together, we complain, oh, I was stuck in traffic, or we want to show the other person how much we love them. Oh, I came to see you, so I spent 5 hours in traffic, you know, and we kind of give them this sob story of what's going on, and oh, look how hard I worked for you to be here. So be happy, right? Don't we do that? So I think why this ends up being the most talked about, because I think it's probably the most complained about travel day. So maybe you would go in with a heart of service and just say, man, it's glad to be here. I know I've been sitting in traffic 5 hours. You don't have to hide it, but how can I serve? How can I get to work right away? How can I bless you? And so as you think about this holiday season, I think Chapman has this great, we've seen it in the church for many years, the five love languages. Let's see if I can get them right. There's quality time. There's physical touch. There's acts of service. There's receiving gifts. And what's the last one? Words of affirmation. Thank you. So telling somebody that you love them. So knowing, really, to serve somebody well, you need to know what their love language is. Because if you come in, if your love language is acts of service, you'll try and get this beautiful Thanksgiving dinner just right, and you'll get everything just right. And to them, that's not their love language. They just did, you know what? You just got that new promotion. I'm proud of you. The words of affirmation. They just needed quality time. You were so busy in the kitchen preparing everything, you didn't even have a chance to say hello. So maybe for them, quality time, maybe you just order out. And they don't care if it's In-N-Out or a turkey. They just want to be with you. You know, so think about that. Gifts, if their love language is gifts, and we often think of this as kind of the non-Christian one. Gifts, how could you be so self-centered? But it isn't just expensive gifts. It's just little things that show, hey, I was thinking about you before I came. I care about you. I love you. And so as we would enter in this holiday season, that we would go in with this mindset of loving others, of serving others. Because the beautiful thing about this is you will be far happier this holiday season if you spend it in how you can bless others than how you're trying to feel love and you're trying to feel acceptance and trying to get that from others. A few weeks ago, I had mentioned this study, and I'll mention it again because I think it's a wonderful study. They found it goes across all demographics. And what they did, they tried it with different values of money. They gave, this was at Columbia University, and so they gave to students, they gave them $5, $10, $100, and even more, and said, hey, I'm going to give you this money. And so one group, let's say to this side, they said, hey, I'm going to give you this money, and you get to go spend it on yourself. Black Friday, you know, go get the big screen, or it's not everything you're dreaming about. And yeah, Black Friday can be a great time to get electronics or different things for cheap, but don't let it consume you. So here's this mindset. Okay, sorry, that was just a pastoral side note. That's not the study. Sorry. But give them $100, and then this side of the group, you get $100, and you can't spend it on yourself. Balcony, you're included too. I haven't forgot you. Wilshire, you're live, you're there too. This side, we're going to give you $100, but you have to spend it on somebody else. You have to go bless somebody. And then so then they asked the whole room, they said, which one of you is going to be happier? This group thought they were going to be happier, and this group said, man, I don't get to spend it on myself. They're going to be happier. When they went out and spent the money, who was happier? This group was. This group was happier. And social scientists, psychologists are just now discovering what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. It's better to give than to receive. This holiday season, would you go in the mindset that you are to give God's love away? God has blessed you in so many ways, and now may you give this love away. Now here's the thing I want us to think about and maybe transition a little bit. As the key word for today is family. So we have our family that I encourage you to bless them, love them, spoil them this holiday season. But not just with a high price tag, but spoil them with love. But then I want us to think about family in a whole nother sense. I want us to look around the room right now and realize as we come together in Christ that we are family. Jesus says that you've been adopted into my family, that we are now brothers and sisters. Whether we come from the same mother or not, we are family. When you believe in Jesus, you're welcomed to the family. Welcome to the Father's embrace, and he welcomes you just as you are and calls you in and loves you. And so here, we get to be a part of a family. But a family doesn't exist. A family won't survive without actually us participating in that family. So if you're taking notes, the second point is, when thinking about church, the point is, don't go to church. What'd the pastor say? Some of you are like, yes, preach. Like, finally, I get out of church. No, don't go to church. Be the church. So, and we'll even adjust that first part. Yes, go to church. Okay, but don't just go to church. Don't just show up. Be the church. Serve the church. Because here's the reality, friends, that you and I, if we just go to church, if we view it as what I can receive, God, okay, give me this. Come on, pastor, preach. Like, give it to me. Like, I need to be lifted up. Yes, God's word lifts up, and it's not just me. But what goes on is, how can you give to the family of Christ? How can you be a part of blessing others? And so it doesn't mean there's so many different ways. We need help here as a family. I mean, think about, if you have a Thanksgiving dinner and you're hosting, it doesn't just happen by itself, right? Even little things. It was interesting. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they decided to relax, and so they ordered, you see them advertised on TV, this pre-made Thanksgiving meal, and it's just ready to go. And this lady was sharing with me and my wife, she's like, I thought it was going to be easy, but I had to take this one out in the tray and get this in the right oven timer, and then this one, and all of a sudden this pre-made meal, she was like, that was more work than the real thing, because I had to get 20 things in and out of the oven. Right? So even with the pre-made meals, things don't just happen. Unless you get somebody to fully cater, come in and serve you, then it'll happen. But what? That takes finances to back that. So whether you have physical health or indifferent, there's so many ways, from greeters to parking ministry. One thing we're dreaming about is turning one of our parking lots here to first-time visitors, welcoming people into the family. Just to simply say, you know what? You are loved. You are cared for. I care about you. And so that's what God does. He invites us to welcome others into this kingdom, into this family. And so each one of us has a responsibility to share with God's love with others as they walk through that door. And church, you have done a wonderful job at this. I've gotten emails from visitors, some just visiting from out of town, and just thanking our church for the way we love other people. That is a blessing. So know, when people come in, that they are loved. And so each one of us, how can we participate? We can have that mindset of looking out for other people and to welcome them and to love them. And that we would be a part of welcoming others into it. If you're taking notes, the last one is that to welcome home. And that the second part of that is to celebrate. To celebrate. Our job is to invite people into God's kingdom, to share with them, to welcome them to the family, to find ways, creative ways. You have them in your family, people that they just don't know about God's love. So you have to be creative. You have to plan ahead. These boxes, to me, are so symbolic of how we love others. Because you have to think ahead. You have to go and find the right gifts to put in there, ones that are going to bless them. And then you're going to go out and to share the love and get sharing the good news, sharing about Jesus' love. So really, when we welcome, our job as we follow Jesus is to gather and to welcome people into God's kingdom. And then to celebrate. We got to celebrate this morning baptisms. What a joy, and that was fun to see this service just celebrate and clap. And Luke 15 mentions, as I mentioned earlier, that there's rejoicing in heaven when even one person turns back to God. Our job is to celebrate, is to give thanks, to enjoy when lives are being changed. Colin Powell has a great quote. He says that positivity is a force driver. So when what gets celebrated gets repeated. If this church is continuing to celebrate changed lives, we won't be able to help but continue to want to see that happen. We can't help but having people that are hurting, that are marginalized and oppressed, get to know God's love. And so as we enter in this holiday season, here's the greatest truth that we have to come and center our minds and hearts around. That Jesus came to this earth. He humbled himself. He made himself lower so that that we could be lifted up. As Christians, as followers, that is our duty, that is our job, to share God's love, to put ourselves lower so that others can be raised up, so others can be brought towards God, so others can experience God's love. How can you be a part of doing this in your family and at our church family? Maybe it's greeting. Maybe it's giving to the church to help us on the mission that we have here. Maybe it's working with children that they would come to know. You know what's so neat? As we're teaching here in Sunday service about loving, how to love others, put others above yourself, our children are being taught, how do you honor others? How do you show them respect and love them and put them above yourself? Right now, our children, the children in this church, whether you have kids or not, our children are being taught how to love others and put others above themselves. Why? They didn't get this idea from just out of the blue. But there's a God that entered in, the God of the universe, came down into this world. And that's what we're celebrating this coming Christmas season. That he submitted himself. He went to the cross. He experienced death on the cross to remove our sins so that we too could have life. That's what we celebrated here in the baptism. And we have the tanks full. Wilshire Live, the invitation's to you too. That if you've never been baptized, that we celebrated death. And that's a weird thing to celebrate, right? We got to celebrate death. What? Death to our old self, but celebration to a new life. Just as Jesus was buried in the tomb, he rose again. And our old ways can be put to death, and our new ways can be brought to life. Our old way of self, of trying to get all we can out of this holiday season, out of church, and what can I get out of it? What can I get out of it? Death to that, and life to giving love away, to serving others. And in that life, you will experience true joy, and you will experience true happiness as you give your life away. Would you enter into that this holiday season? As Jesus gave his life away, may you too give your life away. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this holiday season, Lord. Turkey, chips, dip, football. It's good to enjoy these things. But Father, love always and happiness always seems to escape us during this time. Lord, may we know that we can only find true joy and happiness by giving love away. Lord, may that remind us as we serve and put smiles on other people's faces during the Thanksgiving season and here at church, may we be reminded of how you gave your life away for us to bring us back to you, to bring us into the family. May this be a place, may Wilshire Avenue be a place that celebrates your love, that celebrates the gift that you have given us. And may we just can't help but party around here because of that. And just have huge smiles on our face because of the joy that you had to give your life away. And as we get to see others experience that joy. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.